Hello, welcome to Home Village. Today is Tuesday, August 15th, 2000, and the Koinonia Creekside Room this afternoon is by Roland. Today's session number is 2000-2, and it's titled Listening, Seeing, Telling. Let's listen in.
But education is a, education, come on over here, we're looking at this border here for sharing. Education is a priority for the Division for Global Mission, wherever it is, in leadership and development, healthcare, or in the schools, be it in Tanzania or Slovakia, education is important in all that we do. And so this time together, I want us to think about how we observe things, what we observe, the stories we know, the stories we share, because that all impacts how we educate one another. And the theme, and the theme and the root of Global Mission is walking together, and the risks that is in walking together, and the challenges and the joys, be it from other cultures, other faiths. And so this border is, I just want us to look at this for a minute. I want you to tell me, what do you see? What are the things you observe and see in this border? Anything that you might see.
What's the lines?
Lines.
Okay. And footprints.
Footprints. Are they all the same footprints?
No. Some are, some are small.
Mm-hmm. It looks like a panel.
A what?
A panel.
I'm sorry.
A path.
Path.
It's Red Brick Road.
Red Brick Road.
Isn't it all going the same direction?
Okay. Some are barefoot, some are heels.
Sort of spiral shaped things with like trees or buttons or something.
Uh-huh.
It's like a, it reminds me of a timeline because they're all going from one place to another.
If it's a timeline, what are maybe some things, what might you feel in that? If it's a timeline, the red brick road, what are the senses come up in?
Continuity and progression, I guess, I don't know, sense, but.
And there's certainly people have character. Well, there are different, they're shown by the different footprints.
So we're looking at what we see in this border.
Oh, okay. There's little triangular dark things here seem to be pointing to certain events that significant things happened along the way.
So if we put the word faith in here, what might we see that's different if we're thinking of faith? Symbols in our faith life.
Some of these have got shoes and some are barefoot. Uh-huh. And it's like there are people walking here and some of them are coming from somewhere else and into the ground.
Yeah. Or, yeah. This one is my aim to be going not straight, curving around.
For all of us in our communities or in our congregations, and certainly in Global Mission, it's always, we're always there's surprises along the path. There's surprises in our work together and our walking together. And one of the things that I think the surprise on this path could be this is a path, but it also could be people that still walk together in mission, differently abled people. This could be a path of a wheelchair. going with us. It's all the feet. But it's another way of seeing the lines. It's a path, yes, but wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. And so differently abled people walking with us, me walking with them along the path. And some of the challenges or possibilities along the way in the spirals. These also remind me of the turnabouts in some parts of Europe, like in France. But anyway, to think in our communities, when you return or even here, the surprise is what we might not always notice at first, but to always be thinking, what are the surprises along the path? This actually is the border of the theme for the Division for Global Mission in Walking Together Mission. And it is the things you picked up with, yeah, people coming in along the sides, people, we all wear shoes. Many people around the world don't first put on shoes when they get up. The journey of how we walk together. Before we get into some other things, so these are some things you can take back to your congregations when you work with youth or work with people and sort of opening up some new possibilities of what it means to be in mission together. How many of you enjoy going through an art gallery? Okay, going through the art gallery. Noticing things, we don't always notice what the artist has done. We don't always, or what the artist's intent was. But certainly we have a feeling from it. Sometimes there's art that I find riveting. Others I could spend lots and lots of time. There's recently when I moved to Chicago, I enjoy going to the Institute. I live near there, and on certain days it's free, or I can go in. There's certain pieces that I go to. It's not, we don't have the mountains or the sacredness of God's creation there, the lake, yes. But sometimes I go into a certain art piece for a particular purpose. And so for us, when we are back in our communities, especially our congregations and in our families, I want us to do something today, just briefly together. We can each have a partner, and it's not touchy-feely stuff. It's just I want you to think about the border and now the next step in this and how we observe. If we go into an art gallery, what's the purpose? What do we observe? What do we see? What do we tell when we leave? If we share it with another person, what we saw at the gallery, what we felt, experienced at the gallery. And then the next step would be for us, I want us to think about in our time here, be it if you just came in today or if you've been here for a week or weeks, just take a moment and think, what have you been observing here? Be it with the people, what you observe here in your time here. Just take a moment, be it in nature, with the people, in your room, at the mealtime. What are some of the observations you've had?
There's a lot of commitment to the volunteer staff. You know, they don't get paid for what they're doing, yet they commit themselves to weeks or months. It's a type of mission.
Mm-hmm. There's lots going on in mission, be it in that which we have something tangible to touch on or something in the awe of nature. Just the person next to you, take your partner, and one of you choose, I'll give you, here's what I want you to do. In the observations that have been going through your mind, one of you is the artist, and one of you is the lump of clay. And the artist, you can select that the artist is going to create one of the observations, okay, that you've had in your mind, whatever it may be. And you go to your partner, and you don't have to touch and just point what to do. If you want your fingers to do a certain thing, you want your movement, just so it's not too difficult for someone's body. But take a few minutes and do that. And then tell your partner what it is and why. What was this observation? And then the partner, the lump of clay, is going to tell us. So it's the sharing, that creation of existence and telling the story. Okay? Comfortable with this? We're not looking at the art gallery pieces that are going to go into some great thing, but go with the experience of this. Okay? Choosing a partner. Are we 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2? You're the lump? Are we set to hear from the lumps of clay?
All these different dimensions that we're thinking of, this is something abstract.
I could be abstract.
Okay, we're going to hear from the lumps of clay again. This is what we observe and how we might express it. A Brazilian artist who's currently at the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago does this a lot, going into communities and helps communities see what's going on in their midst. We'll just take, when our days together here, what the lumps of clay from the artist, what they've observed, and how the lumps of clay express it to us. Who's the lump here?
Oh, yeah,
now the new creation.
All right, now what?
If you
stand up and...
Yeah, do okay. Your form, okay. What you were created in, and
yeah.
Why, and what you are.
Symbolism yeah. First, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay. Show us the symbolism.
Okay. That's it. Three parts to it.
Uh-huh. What was the first part again?
A smile.
Oh, smile.
I'm too good at that. All right, now. Okay. And then this. And then, well, it could be either hand. And then this.
Okay. Are we supposed to guess what that is then?
Did we get a sense? I got a sense of it. Did you get a sense? Like going into an art gallery, did we get a sense? If you want to share what it was, a bit more of why you did that.
For me, it's kind of the quality of relationships here. Mm-hmm. It's a place where there's community that's formed very quickly, very spontaneously, that doesn't happen in a lot of other places. Mm-hmm. And so the smile, the handshake, and the kind of hand on the shoulder kind of thing characterize that for me.
Mm-hmm. All approachable symbols.
Welcoming,
yeah.
Hospitality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You came out. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
You probably don't recognize, but it's Railroad Creek coming down.
Okay.
Right here in the middle is Holden Village. And it's where people come, as Harmon has noticed, year after year to get fed by the river and by the church that also is here, kind of. It also makes a cross out of it, pulled out.
Wow, yeah. Yeah. Huh.
There we go.
Thanks.
What it is I think the artist is painting a picture of the beauty around the village. So the trees, mm-hmm. covered bridge on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
No.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
An example of concrete thinking.
Concrete thinking, the young man has.
None of this sort of ethereal imagery. It's very concrete. What he molded me into. He's very, because he observes a lot of crosses.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So that's what he's most living on the wall.
Uh-huh.
So,
in the worship space, in some of the lodges, kind of lots and lots of spaces. Uh-huh. So the commonness, clearly a place, I mean the cross, we know what this place is about. The hospitality. And the sacredness that God's creation abounds. For most of us, we probably don't live in a place like this, to be surrounded by mountains. But these are the things. See the commonness we had? If in the midst of the awkwardness, what comes out? Here is the community. If strangers came in today who'd never heard of this place, they'd know that it has something to do with the cross. Just by this brief movement from you. Something of welcome and beauty. It tells a story instantly.
even in the midst of our awkwardness, which happens in our communities, which happens in our Christian witness, which happens in we go into other cultures and contexts different than our own, even if it's a suburb to urban area, urban to suburb, can be right here in the States, on to other parts of the world. And that's one of the big encounters in global mission, and the purpose of what do we observe, how do we tell a story, impacts how we will walk together. If you're ever working on things in your community or in your congregations, if you want to try something like this, do it like this, then add four more people with one artist and create things in the community. Mold what you see in your community. And it can come out, people have their backs to each other, how it might reflect communication where there's a need for change. It can be people sitting together drinking coffee. I've seen that happen. Different groups, people in prayer together. It will symbolize a community within 5 minutes. It will tell you briefly about a community. And it's probably more powerful than words because it allows us to think and feel something like the border. What we observe impacts who we are and what we see through our eyes. One of the things in global mission is all of us here in this room, I'm sure, know a lot about the Northern Hemisphere. What's the currency in Germany? What's the currency in Russia? Ruble. Uh-huh. Let's tip it upside down. Does Madagascar have a president? We know a lot about Princess Di and her life and the tragedy, and Charles. What happens in Madagascar? Is there a princess there? Is there a king there? Does anyone know? I don't know. What about the currency in Madagascar? Currency in Bangladesh? I'm the same as you. As much as I see it, it still goes out of my mind just like that. We know a lot about the yen because we see that almost every day with the NASDAQ and everything about the monetary system of any country that has to deal with similar to our culture. But when we turn the world upside down, the southern hemisphere, where Christianity is growing the fastest, in Tanzania, it's the fastest growing Lutheran church in the world. They have about 55 pastors deal with in their congregations. If you're a pastor in a congregation, imagine this, one pastor for about 2,300 people. And it continues to grow. Key word that they would say, why? Evangelism. Some unique projects that are going on there. How do these pastors feed themselves and work in areas that are very difficult? They don't have pension programs. They don't have all the things that as North Americans we see and deem as necessary. The ELCA, in working with other partner churches, it's called the Dairy Project, where in a community, what's going to be important in Tanzania, if we went there, maybe someone would mold this, a cow. It's a sustaining factor. And so what will be a sustaining factor in that, if the past these dairy projects where a pastor has a cow for feeding families and congregation members in need, as well as being able to evangelize. So that working together in development. But the Southern Hemisphere is a whole unfolding in our world. We see it in the news, and yet we know that it continues. Infrastructures are dismantled, governments, and it's all how the influence of the media. Why don't we know currencies of some of these areas? The people, the government systems, why do we only know certain sagas of our own president and or others because they're from the Northern Hemisphere? But again, that's the challenge in global mission, and when people, the intersecting of the context of people here from the Southern Hemisphere and or we going there in mission, and the differences in how to walk together, sense of time, everything through my eyes of what we see and the impact of what we have. And it all goes back to our congregations in the same way. What we know in our congregations, what we know in our communities, what we know in our families. One of the things I want us to look at today is something that is available if you, as we watch this together, it was just made. It's called Through My Eyes, one of the themes that we work on in education in the Division for Global Mission. It is a young woman from South Carolina. She herself is, her parents were refugees to this country, and she goes through the youth exchange program of the ELCA to Palestine. And she tells the story here, Through My Eyes, of the exchange program, which is a something in the ELCA. We have lots of youth a part of this, as well through the Companion Synod program, if you have that connection through your congregation or synod, of people in the exchange, of going to other contexts and being able to share the stories and of what's being seen, experienced through my eyes, and the sharing of faith.
Tomorrow, Nina asked me to go with her to her university. is still my friend, and she have time to talk with them.
This is all of Luna's friends. They're really cool. She's a basketball player. She plays in the club, and she's really good, I've heard.
And she had a good conversation with my friend.
They say that we have peace in Palestine, and there's a peace process going on. But when you come and live here, there's nothing. There's no peace here. Their testimonies are so strong, and it touched me. This whole land is over now, but they believe that this is their land.
Deep down inside, there's no peace. I see the young people here. They have a lot of resentment and a lot of prejudice. And I guess I don't blame them because of what they face every day, because it's so political. And the biggest thing I've learned is you accept the situation and you try to live in peace.
They're brave.
Yeah.
Do you want to pay now?
It wasn't going to be you.
Once you go? Okay. Bye. How much?
Champagne, The best part of all, it was dancing and loud music. They really take dancing serious, you know. How long the bride and groom had known each other. And she stood on me for 10 days. We danced. So, dear diary, I'm very exhausted and I must go to sleep. My hips cannot function anymore and church will be tomorrow, right in. So my parents thank God a lot. I guess my faith has grown because of their faith.
My brother also one of the people who was converted. I feel like I'm really Christian because I feel with Jesus and the pain that he faces in his life.
Being with people all the time has made my faith grow stronger. And also traveling and seeing people of different religions and different culture has built my religion. Because of the church, they've given us this opportunity to let my faith grow with another person of a different culture and a different religion. They're standing there very elegantly, so Luna goes, "Won't you want to take a picture?" So I said, "Yeah, that is so neat. Let me get my camera out." I went into the door, I turned a sharp left, and then all I remember was my glasses flew off, and I was on the floor, and I had my hand over my head, and Luna said, "Oh my gosh, Mom, are you okay?"
Everybody asked what she was saying.
I didn't know what was going on.
Oh my goodness!
And then all of a sudden, I knew all these people were convening. And here comes the bishop. He comes with his wonderful staff.
Ah!
Oh my goodness, it was like it was squeezing my heart or my stomach, and it felt very painful. And he said, "This will help the knot not to come out." It was really an awful pain, but I just thought that it was so cute how he just ran over there and rescued me. Ever since yesterday.
My family, she is responsible for everything in the house, and I help her sometimes.
I'm gonna eat a lot today.
All of the days I've spent with their family, and even today, was just a wonderful family gathering. You could tell that her family is really strong, and they talk about everything, and they're very close. They share feelings, problems, and you could see it. Family's important to them, and it showed by sharing a wonderful meal with me. In the evening, after visiting Luna's house, I asked her to come visit me.
If I don't have a permission, I can go to Jerusalem.
But she came anyway.
I feel afraid because if they catch me, maybe they put me in the jail.
As we passed the checkpoints that time, I look at Luna's face and her expressions are very at ease. But, you know, maybe deep inside, you know, her heart's maybe pounding. It's easy for me to go from place to place. I'm just showing my passport. I'm an American. But I've heard that for Palestinians, it's really hard for them to travel. We hear about other bodies of prejudice against each other, and there's wars, political wars, and political wars come out of religion. It's hard to understand each other, and nobody gets along here because you're a Jew. Nobody gets along because you're a Muslim. In a short period, I began to see the gifts and what the Palestinian people have to offer the world. I think every people here is still hope, and Palestinians are very, very proud of who they are. And I think this is one of the biggest gifts that they share with me. I believe, I'm pretty sure I will have silent moments when I reflect on my time here. And I think I am going to remember Luna and her family, all the happiness that they have and the laughter they bring. And I'm going to take back, I know, a wonderful friendship. I told her she can come visit me in America. And I'm going to take back a sense of peace because God is definitely here in Palestine looking over the people. His work has shown through people here, and I think that's the most important message that I'm going to bring back.
To go to Palestine or that's a long way. We hear a lot about that area of the world in our, especially most recently, the Camp David summit and things like that. From this telling of Through My Eyes by Meng Li, what stimulated you? What was something new you learned about the Palestinian people or just in general hospitality experiences? Anything that stands out?
Well, if you listen to the news, you think they're constantly rioting and throwing stones at the Israelis. And you realize that they want the same things everybody else wants. And that's just chance to live peace probably. Mm-hmm. And they want an ability to do that. Mm-hmm. The other thing I was surprised at is that I know there are a lot of Arab Christians, but you always think that all Palestinians are Islamic. Oh. But I know there are a lot of Arab Christians too, and that is obvious here.
I want us to go back to that at the end. Any other thoughts?
I was just surprised by the, at least in this family, how much modern the family was in terms of, you know, appliances and how the household was. Because I had this vision of a more rural atmosphere, there's a metropolitan city, urban situation.
That area of the world is more rural. So, probably from a little town of Bethlehem. I'll still be Stevie live.
I think she did express a fairly strong resentment of the Jews in one statement she was saying about Palestine, and it should be, you know, all there or something like that. It sort of stood out as, you know, that that's pretty, probably pretty universal among the people in Palestine.
The strong resentment of the, it's three big faiths there, the three big monos, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, the Muslims.
Well, they were both able to learn things from each other, even though the one was out of her own culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, still she brings some of that, and they just the interaction between the two was a learning experience.
It was neat to see.
Yeah.
Funny things. I just said, "Wow, ice cream!" You know, going shopping, the little things. To certainly living where always the guns are present, and so that word, used resentment. Certainly, if we lived in such confinement, those are the challenges in life of being confined like that, and the fear. Any other thoughts on what about the faith, the living presence of the Christians, the worship service? What Hmong learned about what was so important?
Keep her head down.
Huh?
Keep her head down.
Yeah, keep her head down from the big cement stairs.
Talking about their faith, their deep faith. Just help her deep her faith.
Mm-hmm. Where do we, she talked about, I think that's part of what we've been talking about here and for all of us. She talked about her parents and the sharing of the stories. It was always telling the story. For Hmong herself as a refugee from the family experience of that, and then also for Luna, of the story that's been shared for, we just were taken to the place where the roots of Christianity, the roots of our faith, Palestine, 2,000 years. And for the most part, the first missionaries there. We were just taken to that context. And so going back to your comment of what we hear in our news for the most part is about Israel. And in our congregations or maybe in larger groups of people, we go off to, and these are great opportunities, to the Holy Land. For the most part, if people come back and share about that, if you haven't been there, what have you heard about? Have you heard about the Palestinian Christians when people have come back from the Holy Land? For our Palestinian Christian brothers and sisters, if they were able to be here today, that's a deep, deep lament. They say to us all the time, those of us who are able to meet them and be working with them, where are our North American, spent looking just at us here, North American Christian brothers and sisters? When you come to the Holy Land, we get the exhaust of the big buses that quickly go through, or the traversings of people through, by the people who are not Christian. Or the people who, and we don't know, I'll just put this out, that the fear is by the Palestinian Christians that they are such a minority, because to be a Christian there is really to be an outcast. At the roots of Christianity, it's to be an outcast there. And so it's a double struggle of being Arab, and then on top of that, being Christian. And so to be such a colorful minority of such a history, of such a gift to so many cultures, and yet they're the closed ones of, just some of the political situations that we don't always hear about, and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. As outsiders, we can't necessarily take sides, but we can educate ourselves on what's happening. And when we go to the Holy Land, we can make sure we partake with Palestinian Christian brothers and sisters. And part of, if people go there and we don't hear about the Christian brothers and sisters in Palestine, it's because, I mean, in part our media, in part our assuming things and maybe not educating ourselves of what's really going on there, but how we are socialized of what to think. And the songs, of course we would think of the Shepherd's Fields. Of course we would think of not such an urban area, because we're gathered by the idea of Bethlehem, by the idea of Jordan, of past, sort of a mythical idea in our minds. Any thoughts when you were in Palestine?
Yeah, I think that was one of the real revelations, was the extent of Christianity mm-hmm. among the Palestinians and how they're mm-hmm. separated off from other people. Mm-hmm. It's powerful.
Mm-hmm. Are there Christians in Israel too, aren't there? And do they mm-hmm. communicate much between them?
Mm-hmm. The communities, like in Jordan, when lots of refugees there from Palestine, I mean, they would call that their transplants to Jordan now, so the Christian community is strong there, but yes, very strong. However, the Palestinian Christians, I would say, have the most difficult time. She saw the border patrols, and she says, can you take me to Jerusalem? I mean, can you take me to Seattle tomorrow? You know, of course, but just, it's simple. Can you take me just a few kilometers, a few miles to Jerusalem? No.
One of the things that I remember about, we were at the same conference in Jerusalem. One of the speakers was coming down from Bethlehem, the pastor of the church there, who's actually quite well known.
Mitri Rocky.
And he could not travel on his own from Bethlehem into Jerusalem to speak to the conference. So what the tour organizer did, or the conference organizer, was chartered a tour bus and said, anybody who wants to go along, we're just going to take a tour bus to Bethlehem to pick him up and bring him back to Jerusalem. It's only 10 miles?
That's
very, very close. Mm-hmm. But he said tour buses are never stopped. And whether he tried to come in his own car or come in a taxi or any other way, he would be stopped from coming from Bethlehem into Jerusalem, even as a noted religious mm-hmm. figure. Mm-hmm. It just gave you a sense of that's what the kind of the structure and the pattern of things, mm-hmm. political and social isolation that they experienced really was.
And also important for us to know, why might we be connected with a video like this? There's a purpose that comes out why this is created at this time. It's very intentional. There's another video I'll be showing later of Bangladesh later in the week. But Palestine, through my eyes, is that the Lutheran Church, ELCA, and other ecumenical, all of our ecumenical relationships are really working with the Palestinian Christians. We've been there, they have been there. I mean, as recently at the Global Mission event, one of the keynote speakers, Viola Rahib, whose brother was unable to get into at the conference in 95, get into Jerusalem easily. She was recently at the Global Mission event, and she directs the Lutheran schools in Jordan, Palestine. She's the director of the schools. There are schools there. And so part of the congregation that you're part of and the funding to Division for Global Mission supports, help support those schools, which are interfaith, working on reconciliation. There's some incredible work going on in the Lutheran schools. There's the reconciliation with the three faiths. And here you hear the positive experiences we don't always hear in our media and in the news of what's going on. And Christians are in the leading role there. The few Christians, incredible leadership they're taking. Augusta Victoria Hospital. There's a vast amount of work going on there in the Middle East, in Palestine, in Lebanon. The Contact Resource Center. There are a variety of areas. And we have people telling the story there, and when they come back, two mission personnel at the Lutheran Church of the Redeemer in the Old City, Susan and Michael Thomas, and then also working in as teachers. They're actually in Israel, the west side, Peter and Kathy Kapenga. But working with the ELCA and the Evangelical Lutheran Church Jordan-Palestine. And Lutheran World Federation is heavily involved there, Lutheran World World Council of Churches. So these are the stories that we may never get to some and walk along as the border there from our first experience when we walked in here. We may not be walking side by side with people, with our brothers and sisters in Palestine, but we can be telling the story. We can be really finding out things that are happening differently than maybe what we're hearing. One of the things I encourage you to do, especially with Palestine, on the Division for Global Mission webpage, there are resources, lots and lots of resources that you can tap into or call an order. If you don't have access to a computer, call an order. Or hey, if you want to involve a young person in your congregation that you know could do this and isn't doing, you want to involve him or her in the congregation, have them get on the website. It's a way to involve young people. They love to do this. There are country packets. And there's from each continent, as you see here, these are the folders, Asia, Latin America, Europe, Africa, Middle East. You can pull out Palestine. It'll give a history of the country, the background. You'll have more of what's going on to help educate. You can set up a whole class, an adult forum, or for the youth. Pictures, color pictures, if you have a color printer. This is the bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, Bishop Dunan. A picture of here is looking on the city of Jerusalem where the three mono faiths claim that the world will again experience as Christians, as Muslims, and as Jews. This is the holy city where all claim will in their stories or in their faith or in the holy books as the city of God. It gives you a bit of the landscape outside of the urban area and more of just a brief sketch of the Evangelical Lutheran Church there. What mission personnel are there, what's going on for youth, idea of the religions, percentage of West Bank, 17% Jewish, 75% Muslim, 8% Christian. And then you get a sense of just in reading through some of this, similar to the video, of what's going on for Christian brothers and sisters there. These are the country packets. You can pick any country. We are active in the Division for Global Mission, over 50 countries. Add 25 more, and that's where we're active in grants and monies, working through Lutheran World Federation, Lutheran World Relief, National Council of Churches, World Council of Churches, so in all about 75 countries, heavily, heavily involved in a variety of ways, from leadership development, healthcare, evangelism. In
one, can I add one more? I'm sorry to interrupt. I grew up in didn't know you were going to do Palestine Day. This is great that some stuff from the Lutheran Office of Governmental Affairs and other denominations sponsoring this thing called Committee for a Shared Jerusalem, because that's one of the things that Palestinians really want U.S. Christians to advocate for right now. That was the end up being the stumbling block in the peace process was that the vision is for a real, actual sharing of Jerusalem and Israeli. The Israeli position has not been in favor of that, and I think we can really help our Palestinian sisters and brothers by working for that.
Which is not new. But this is Barbara Rossing up there. She just got back from Palestine, actually, just a few weeks ago, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. And this, anything else, Barbara, before we close here that you want to lift up? I mean, the key is into our congregations.
Well, I think, I would say as a New Testament scholar, I think we need to be careful not ever to be anti-Jewish. That has been the Lutheran history. Uh-huh. So we need to both be critiquing anti-Judaism that you sometimes hear, especially in preaching on Galatians or other things. You know, we need to be really sensitive to not sound anti-Jewish, but on the other hand, you can be pro-Palestinian even when it's challenging to Israelis, because the inequities right now are pretty significant, mm-hmm. but I think we really have to be careful about anti-Judaism.
Mm-hmm. And that there is quite a difference. If we're going to talk about economic reality, repression and oppression, present day, and the faith journey. of our own roots to different realities that because it can be crossed very easily. And the Palestinian Christians that we work with in the Evangelical Lutheran Church, Jordan, Palestine, are not anti-Israeli in any way, shape, or form. At the conference, I mean, what a huge gathering of international pastors gathering in Jerusalem in 95. That was not a premise in any way, shape, or form. Lots and lots of dialogue is going on in Jerusalem. And so what Barbara's lifting up, the shared Jerusalem, is not a new reality. Historically, that's not new. It's what's being called forth today of a shared Jerusalem, where people are called to live in unity in that city.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You wonder how that ever happened. You hear the Israelis saying, this is our eternal city, and mm-hmm. this is our land, and there's never going to be any other mm-hmm. possibility. Mm-hmm. And so when you hear that intransigence, you wonder how in the world peace can ever happen mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. with that premise. Mm-hmm.
But one thing that's false about what they say with that is they've greatly expanded the borders of what they define as Jerusalem, and now it's triple the size of what Jerusalem was in 1967, and they took over a whole bunch of the West Bank and now call it Jerusalem, but it's mm-hmm. never been Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And they're defining Jerusalem as an impossibly large area and saying it's our eternal city. Mm-hmm. So it's never, even the Jewish definition of Jerusalem has never been as large as it currently is. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which affects, I mean, down to things we maybe not always think about, sewer systems. When land is taken over, how it's run out to certain people and not for others. I mean, it's just the economic reality is mind-boggling of what's happening with the land. Water systems, all of it. Mm-hmm. Access into certain areas for just basic food needs. Just access anywhere. Access out of the country to the airport. Mm-hmm. Wow, okay. Lots of challenges in our world and lots of incredible things happening. And we all walk together in mission. As yesterday, talking about one of the sessions, was just simply, when we're talking about the landmines, there are simple things and basic things we can do. The same in here today and the journey off to Palestine briefly through this video and how we can always take the opportunity to be educated and learn more about what it means to walk with our brothers and sisters in other places and here. Okay. Enjoy dinner and Vespers this evening.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.